Friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, of whom we sing. Isaiah chapter 55, a portion of the Old Testament reading today, God says to his people, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Let us pray. Let every instrument be tuned for praise. Let all rejoice who have a voice to raise. And may God give us faith to sing always. Alleluia. Amen. Please be seated. I think probably most of you know the song "American Pie," written by Dan McLean. You know, this will be the day that I die, and the day that music died. Do any of you remember the event or the incident that inspired that song? Do you remember the day the music died? If you do actually remember it, you must be around 60 years or older, because it happened. Miss Redding, do you remember it? It was February 3rd, 1959. I was only about 3.5 months old at the time. It was a cold winter night. It was a cold winter night, and a small private aircraft took off from the town of Clear Lake, Iowa, bound for Fargo, North Dakota, but it never made its destination. When the plane crashed shortly after takeoff, the lives of Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and J.P. Richardson, a.k.a. the Big Bopper, were all suddenly gone, as well as the life of the pilot. Three of rock and roll's most promising performers were just suddenly gone. And as Dan McLean says in that famous song, that was the day the music died. And listen to how he remembers that day long, long ago, as he says in his song, when he was just a young boy and he was a paper carrier, and the paper that he was delivering that day carried the bad news of what had happened. He says in his song, "But February made me shiver with every paper I delivered. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died." Let me tell you about the day the music died for the people of the Old Testament, the people of Judah. Every day, since Israel had conquered the promised land, for 1,000 years, the music was alive. The music in the temple, that is, the music of worship and of prayer and of praise and of songs to God, giving thanks to him who had given them this good land. That was the undying song in the hearts of all of God's true people. But, like the prodigal son in Jesus' parable, once the people of Israel got hold of their inheritance, they, as a nation, promptly turned their backs on their father and walked away from him and squandered their inheritance on wild living under the influences of the pagan gods of Baal and Asherah and others, with all of the drinking and the sexual immorality, and along with that they perverted justice and they loved wealth, and they sank into a deep swamp of moral depravity. Now meanwhile, during those entire 1,000 years, the music was still alive. The music continued in the temple, but it was empty, heartless, gutless, lip service kind of worship, whose only purpose was to appease the God of Abraham. Let's toss him this bone. Let's keep the music alive in the temple, and we'll keep God happy and keep him off of our case. And of course, the prophets tried to warn the people that God was not appeased by their empty songs, and that they would pay a terrible price. And sure enough, on August 19th, 587 BC, a monstrous nation, the Babylonians, swept into Jerusalem. The rod of God's anger, a fire-breathing horror that utterly destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple that Solomon had built. And that prodigal nation, or what was left of it, was reduced once again to captivity in far away Babylon. Jeremiah, when he wrote the Lamentations, laments what happened to Jerusalem and to Judah. He cries over the city, and one of the things he says is this. He says, the musicians have stopped their music. Joy is gone from our hearts. For Judah, it was spiritually and literally the day the music died. And the mood of those Jewish people is captured in Psalm 137. It says this, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for their tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? And so there in Babylon, their instruments were no longer tuned to praise. They put their instruments away. They hung them up on the poplar trees. They stopped singing. The music died. With no temple, no royal city, no king, no lamb, no liturgy, no sacrifices, no hope, no future, how could they sing? Can you relate to any of that, any of what they were feeling? Do you sometimes feel like the music has died in your life? You know, what's your favorite hymn? This morning we sang, you know, beautiful one. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune our hearts to sing thy grace. Or, Lord, take my hand and lead me along life's way. Or, children of the heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather. These are the songs of the Lord. But how do you praise the fount of every blessing when you're struggling to pay your bills, or when you can't find a job, or when the rain won't come and water your crops? How do you sing when you feel like you're sinking, barely keeping afloat, like you're floundering, and like the guiding hand of God has let go of you? How do you make melody in your heart about the closeness of God when it seems like all the evidence of your life says that God is far away somewhere? In so many ways, sin kills the music in us by the guilt we feel, by the trials and the troubles that we have to deal with, by death and grief, by pain and disease, by financial woes, by strife within our relationships and families. And we find ourselves as exiles in this world. And we sense that we are far, far away from the home that God really means for us. How do you sing the songs of the Lord when home is so far away and we are stuck here in Babylon? Well, listen once again to the word of the Lord. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You know what that word means? God is saying to these exiles, stuck in Babylon, far from home, he is saying, the day is coming when I am leading you out of your exile in peace and with great joy. And the day that those people of Judah, those exiles in Babylon, the day they heard that promise was the day the music started to come alive again for them. Not that that promise changed their situation immediately. They were still exiles, but now they were exiles with hope. That made the difference. Hope is the reason the music is still alive in us. And hope is in Jesus Christ. The day of His birth was the day that the music came alive on this earth. First with the song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. And yes, it's true, that song was muted for a time as Christ yielded up His life upon the cross and all was darkness and gloom and the hearts of the angels were broken. You could say that was the day the music died, at least for the disciples, who could not grasp at that time what God was doing and accomplishing through the cross. But the lull in the music was only brief. Just a few measures as Jesus rested in the tomb. And then the mighty crescendo of Easter as He rose from the grave. In one mighty act of salvation, God forgave our sins, having paid for them at the cross. He crushed the power of the devil, and He opened to us the way back home. And now, our Father says to us the same thing He said to those exiles in Babylon. He says, you shall go out in joy, and you shall be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will before you shall break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The day is coming, He says, when I will lead you out of this exile in peace and with great joy, and all the creation is going to join you in giving thanks to God. And so the music is alive in us. The music is alive because Jesus is alive and His promise is sure. And if the situation of your life in this Babylonian captivity has you down and out, if your situation has killed the music in your heart, I want to encourage you by the example of Paul and Silas from Acts chapter 16. At that time, Paul and Silas as a missionary team were in the city of Philippi. And they were brought up on these ridiculous charges before the magistrates. And they were stripped and severely beaten and flogged. They were thrown into prison, into the innermost, highest security cell in the prison. Their feet were fastened in stocks. No preacher comforts at all. And you would think that after an absolutely terrible, horrible, awful day like that, if they were singing anything, they would be singing, "You had a bad day," or "If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all," or something like that. But no, listen to verse 25 of Acts 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They were singing hymns to God. I sometimes wonder what those other prisoners must have thought. You know, for us, most of us, if we had a day like they had just had, that would be the day the music died in us. How can you sing praises to God when you're bound in prison, down on your luck, miserable, in pain, and being treated unjustly? Did the other prisoners in that prison think Paul and Silas to be crazy? Or did they catch on that the songs of these men was prompted by something much deeper than their circumstances? I don't know about the other prisoners. Apparently the jailer caught on. Those joyful hymns of Paul and Silas rising up out of such misery had a profound impact on him. Such that when they were released from prison by miracle of this earthquake, the jailer was brought to ask, "What must I do to be saved?" The jailer didn't know what it was that was prompting that music, what it was that kept the music alive in the hearts of Paul and Silas, but he knew that it must have been something very powerful and something that he wanted for himself. So they gave it to him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And the song will be alive in your heart. What Paul and Silas knew, and what they shared with the jailer that day, is that God's Christ has come. And with his advent, salvation has come to this world. And no one can take away from the child of God what God has given us through his Son. For live or die, we cannot lose. For we belong to the Lord. And though we are here in Babylon now, we are citizens of heaven. And we are going home to the rejoicing of all creation. The day the Holy Spirit worked the miracle of faith in our hearts, and in the hearts of Paul and Silas, that's the day when the music came alive. So listen again to Psalm 98. The Lord has made his salvation known. He has remembered his love. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Therefore, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing. May the song be alive in your heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.